what we've got so far. Now we need to look to apply it to our case, please.
Chof Beis 7, Tuesday the 25th of June, Rabbi Moshe Levy, real life.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was trying to remember what we might have spoken about in the past, if we spoke about anything in the past. So I figured if I don't remember, then nobody else remembers exactly. I wasn't going to say, but you just mentioned discussing going to the Kotel, the men, the women, how, what, where. And it reminded me of an idea I once heard on this week's Parsha. Often we have people, they have relatives that are more from and relatives that are less from. I noticed that whatever level you're at, whatever level someone's at, anybody who's more from than them, bit of a fanatic. Anybody who's less from than them, not so from. Whatever level you're at, you feel that you're good. This is what it should be at. That's human nature. Or from you might be, or not from you might be. But quite often we have friends or family members that are less from. And the question always is, what's the mahalach? What do we say? That's them, this is us, we sort of keep away. Or do we say, look, there's no reason we can't be friends. There's times where there's things that we hold our pasnisht, as they say, not for us. And if you want to, kol hakavod, that's your choice. Or, what's the mahalach? Do we sort of put up a wall and say, we can't have any connection or not? I had this experience this past Shabbat. My backyard connects with two neighbors on the other side. And the kids always play together. There's sleepovers all the time. And one neighbor, the girl, she's 8 or 9 years old. And then we have another neighbor that the girl was about 6 years old. And the third neighbor, they're not necessarily as, I don't like using the term frum, but in this case, clearly they were less tsanua. It's a little girl, she's 6 or 7 years old. And one girl says to the other girl, hey, you shouldn't be dressing like that. One family is sending to Beis Yaakov, one family is sending to JFS. And the 8-year-old girl says, you shouldn't be dressing like that. That's not how we dress. And my son, who's 13, happened to be walking by, he says, she's got a point. Yeah? This little girl bursts out crying. She runs to her family. And she says, he said to me, I need to leave the garden. I'm not allowed. Again, he didn't say any of that, but that's how she translated in her mind. I can't come back. And I hear the father very upset. I don't know if he was screaming, but I heard him. So he was upset. He says, that's not how it works. I don't tell you, you can't come in my garden unless you change your white shirt, unless you change your kapel to the type of kapel that we wear. Right? And I said to my son, it's not your place to say anything. But even still, that's not going to help. That's not the mahalach. The mahalach isn't screaming at them. The mahalach isn't saying, what are you doing? Right? There's two mahalachs. Where do we see that? We see that in this week's parsha. We send the Moshe Rabbeinu sends out the meraglim. Now first and foremost, they're not supposed to be meraglim. The Malbim asks a bunch of what we would call simple questions. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know, should we go into Eretz Yisrael? If you're going to send out spies, how many spies do you send out?
One, two,
like we see in the Haftarah. That's what Yeshua sends out. Kalev and Pinchas, two spies. How many does Moshe Rabbeinu send out? 12. What's he thinking? Furthermore, what does he tell them? We'll read it in a second. Go, and what does he tell them to bring back? Bring back some fruit. Imagine they have over here in the government, they want to know what's going on in Gaza. And they take two spies and they say, go, we need a status report, tell us about the people, tell us about how well fortified it is, tell us about the type of country it is, and by the way, bring back some shawarma and falafel. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Bring back who? What type of spies bring back fruit? And then when these spies come back, who are they going to give a report to? What would be the normal protocol? to give a status report to the general, to the chashuvim, to the head people. Who do the meragim give a status report to? Everybody. Since when do spies speak to the Hamoin Am, speak to everybody? Makes no sense. Says the Malbim, they were never meant to be meragim. You go through, and what does it say? Vayikra Moshe, Moshe names Moshe ben Nun Yoshua, which we'll get back to in a second. He adds the letter Yud. Vayishlach otam Moshe latur et haaretz. Moshe Rabbeinu sends them out. I always find it ironic because now is always the time of the year in London. Anybody who's not anybody, but many boys in year 11, where do the boys and girls, where do they go? At the end of year 11, they go to Eretz Yisrael, and it's called tour. They go on tour. That's the world. Tourists. This week's parasha. Vayishlach Hashem Moshe. Shlachotam Moshe latur et haaretz. They're tourists. They're going on tour. Eretz Kenan. V'yomalem alulam ze banegev alitem el ahar. Go up. You want to have the best view. Uritem et haaretz. You got to look at the land. Mahi. Let us know about the land. Ve'et ha'am ha'yoshev alea. Let us know about the people. Hachazak hu arofe ha'matu imrav. What does Moshe Rabbeinu want to know about the people if they're strong or weak? It's not about can we win a war. What is the strength of the people indicative of? Is the land a good land? We want to know about the land. If the people are frail, if the people are falling apart, if the people are sickly and weak, that's not the type of country you want to move into. But what do I want to know? Umah ha'aretz. Next pasuk. Umah ha'aretz. Again it says, I want to know about the land. She yoshev ba tova him ra'ah. Is the land good or bad? Umah ha'arim. Asher hu yoshev ba'en ha'machtarim mitzarim. Is it well fortified? Is it not? If there's something worth fortifying, there's something worth protecting, then it must be a good land. Otherwise, Umah ha'aretz. I want to know again about the land for the third time. Hashmenayim razah, yesh ba'etzim ayin. Does it have good fruit? Is it fat? Is it skinny? Bitchazaktem. Ukaftem epri ha'aretz. I want to know about the land. So what do you got to do? Bring back some fruit. All about the land. All we want to know from the Meraglim, we're calling them the Meraglim, but they weren't meant to be Meraglim. All Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know, give us a status report on the land. It's all about the land, it's all about the country. Does Moshe Rabbeinu ask them at all, can we win a war? Moshe Rabbeinu asking them at all, tell us what you think about this country. Is it the type of country that we'll be able to break into? No. All he says is, I want to know about the land, about the land, about the land. Now, of course, I need to know about the people, whether they're weak or strong, because that's going to tell me about the land. Win a war or not? No. Moshe Rabbeinu sends out 12, because they're not meant to be spies. They're on tour. They're tourists. They're going to check out the land. Bring back some fruit. Show everybody, wow, look at this amazing fruit. This is the type of country you want to move into. They were never meant to be tourists. So what happens? Let's just answer our first point. There's two mahalchim. Mahalch number one is Yoshua. The other meraglim know, we're not going to give Yoshua a chance to speak. Yoshua is the frumer, and we got to keep him at bay. He's over there, we're over here, we're not going to even connect. What about Kalev? How do they look at Kalev? Kalev is mahalch number two. He's what we would call one of the boys. He's one of us. We go out drinking, he comes out drinking. Now why is Kalev doing what he's doing? Because he's hoping, I'll be their friend, and maybe at certain points, I'll be able to influence, I'll say, come over for Shabbos. Again, I'm using modern day terminology. Yeah, these are gedolim, these are tzaddikim. But Kalev's mahalach is what we would call almost the kirub mahalach. One mahalach is, you're not so frum, you're over there, you stay over there, we put up a wall, our kids don't play together, it's a sakana, done. And then the mahalach, that's the way, in this example, that's the Yoshua mahalach. He's over there, we're over here, gamar. The Kalev mahalach has a much better chance of working, especially in this situation. The Kalev mahalach is, when Kalev gets up to speak, they don't knock him down. B'chavot, go ahead. Kalev, tell him, show him. And what does Kalev do? He uses this opportunity to say, hey, I really think we can do it. We're going to be able to go. Tova ha'aretz, ma'od ma'od, it's a phenomenal land. The mahalich of be their friend, You don't have to be exactly like them. Be their friend, and there's going to be opportunities where you can invite them for Shabbos. Be this opportunity. Which mahalach is right? There's no right or wrong. You have to know the type of person that you are. You have to know, it's not so simple. To be their friend, and then what happens? They invite you over for a sleepover. And what are they going to do? They're going to watch the movies. You don't want your kid doing that. Right? So you have to know, it's a very delicate balance. It's not very simple. It's much easier to just put up the fence and say, hey, our kids don't play together. And then there's knowing how to navigate it. Kalev, he has the second mahalach. Because he says this will be the best chance. Otherwise, the Kalev wouldn't have been given an opportunity to get up and say, Tovah Aretz Mo'ad Mo'ad, we can go and maybe convince some of the people. Ended up that the people didn't listen to Kalev, they listened to the majority. What happened over here if they weren't meant to be spies, says the Malbim? What happened that they became a Raglan? So, again, I don't think this is a Chiddush. But, says the Chiddush Harim, these Kulam Anashim, these were very holy Choshev Yidin. And they said, right now, we have an amazing existence. We sit in the Midbar. We don't have to worry. We have manna from Shamayim. We have the Be'er Miriam, our clothing grows on us, and we get to just sit and learn Torah day in, day out from Moshe Rabbeinu. The second we go into Eretz Yisrael, what happens? Now I have to work hard. Now I have to plant, now I have to work. Now there's going to be the challenge of Parnassa. Why would we want to go over there? And the truth is, this is just a continuation from last week's parasha, but in a very different way. Last week's parasha, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and v'asafsuf asher kibekirbo hit avu ta'ava. They desire the desire. Before Hashem explain, what does that mean, they desire the desire? There's certain desires that are natural for a human being. Desire for money. Desire for a beautiful woman. Desire for kavod. You might have mentioned in the past, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. And he said, you know, when I was younger, he said to us, we had a vad. He said, when I was your age, 20 years old, in my 30s, I would learn the Musar Sfarim. And I always said, why don't these Rabbanim write about practical things? Taiva for money, taiva for women. What's the thing they write about the most? Kavod and being an anav and being humble. And he says, I don't understand. He says, now, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't use these exact words, but this is how it translated in my head at least. He says, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. I got a big belly. I got a long beard. There's a beautiful woman walking down the street. I'm not looking at her. She's not looking at me. You gave me $1 million. I'd give it to my kids. He says, that's not a taiva for me. What's my biggest taiva? Kavod. You know how many thousands of lives I've been through? How many hundreds and hundreds of bachurim came through the yeshiva? Look at this building that I've been. How many people I've married off? He says, what's my biggest taiva? Kavod. Who was writing the Musar Sfarim? Not 20 and 30 year olds. 60 and 70 year olds. So they wrote about the thing that was the... That's a natural thing to have a taiva for kavod, to have a taiva for a beautiful woman, to have a taiva for money. These are natural desires. And then there's desires that we create. Nobody is naturally born with a desire to drink wine or to drink whiskey. Right? First time somebody has beer, quite often when they're a teenager. Yeah, it's terrible. I think it was Jackie Mason. He says, they gave me this stinky cheese. It was horrendous. And they said to me, no, 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 you need to develop a taste. He says, you don't have to develop a taste for chocolate. Right? There's certain taivas that we create. Taiva to drink, we created that taiva. It's not, it doesn't taste good the first few times you have it. But then you convince yourself it's good and I like what it does. A taiva for gambling. Taiva for drugs. Nobody's naturally born with that. They do it once, they do it twice, do it three times, and then they... But hit avu ta'ava, they desired a desire. It wasn't, they created a desire. And what they say? What do they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? We remember the good times in Mitzrayim. Zacharnu et hadagah, et hakishuim, avatechim, etc. We remember the good stuff. Now, you take a step back. What are they talking about? They're a bunch of slaves. Halach ma'anya diochalu avatan aram esayim. This is the poor man's bread. They didn't have the good stuff. Maybe the last few months. And the Torah says, pause. We're going to pause the story. By the way, what are they complaining about? They're complaining about the manna. Nafshinu yivesha. They're complaining about the manna. Why? The manna is unbelievable, says the Torah. The manna is phenomenal. Yeah? Stam, we'll deviate for a second. It says it was kezer agad. There's a minog that many of the Ashkenazim have on Shabbos. What do they eat? Cholent and kugel. Where does the cholent come from? How come there's a minog to eat cholent? Huh?
Because he keeps overnight.
Yeah? The Karaites, they only ate cold food, not allowed to have hot food. So we made sure to eat hot food, but most things burn. I think in old French, choulen is slow cook. Where does the kugel come from? How come there's a minog? Many people eat kugel. So if you look at Rashi in last week's parasha, it says, Kizera Agad, it was agul, it was rammed. Right? Where does kugel come from? It's supposed to be ki'igul. It's supposed to be to remind you of the manna that came down and it's round. Now you go to most shops nowadays, and it's either square or rectangle, but it's supposed to be ki'igul, to remind you of the manna. The manna was unbelievable. Tastes like anything you want. Why are they complaining about the manna, if it's so unbelievable? So a simple pshat you might say is that it didn't look appetizing. Yeah, a big part of our food is the way it looks. Yeah, you want to be able to see it. You want to be able to, the different colors, the texture. But what was the manna? So the Gemara has a few different opinions. What did the manna look like? What was the texture of the manna? Some opinions say it was like dough, fresh challah, unbelievable. Other opinions say, no, it was like flour, and then they took the flour and they made it into dough and it tasted like whatever you want. Other opinions say, no, it was like grain, like wheat, you had to winnow it, you had to grind it, turn it into flour, and then turn that flour into the dough-like substance. Mefarshim explained, where was the manna? Was there just a massive pile and everyone came and scooped it out? So where did the manna come to? So again, there's different opinions. Opinion number one, they opened their door, at their doorstep, manna. Opinion number two, they had to walk 5-10 minutes. Now, I don't know if there was a sign, family Schwartz, family Cohen, family Levy, I don't know how it worked. But they knew which one was theirs. Some of us say no, the Gemara says, one opinion is they had to walk. Half hour, hour. Which one is it? Was it by their doorstep, 10 minutes or hour? Was it bread, was it flour, was it wheat? It depended on the person. If the person was a tzaddik, they have to open their door, it was right there. Not such a tzaddik, they walked 10 minutes. Really not such a tzaddik, they had to walk an hour. If they were a tzaddik, they got dough-like substance. Not such a tzaddik, they got the flour. Really not such a tzaddik, grain. But what happened? Everything in the midbar was instant. Everything in the midbar happened right away. They complain about the meat. Odeinu ben shenehem. They're eating. It's in their mouths. Boom. They start choking. The Meraglim in this week's parasha speak bad about Eretz Yisrael. What happens the next day? Gone. Korach starts on Moshe Beinu. Boom. That day. Everything happened right away. So you have a guy, he's a tzaddik. Every day he gets the dough and it's right by his doorstep. One night his friends call him up and they say, oh, it's come on out. He says, nah, Chas v'Shalom, I can't. It's the birthday. Oh, you can't say no to the birthday. You have to go to the birthday party. The guy always goes to sleep 10, 11 o'clock. This time he comes home 3 a.m. He misses Shacharit. His wife says, sweetie, go get the manna. The kids are hungry. He opens the door. It's not there. He's got to walk. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half hour, hour. And he picks up his manna. But instead of the normal dough, what's he got? He's got wheat. And now he has the walk of shame. He's got to walk back. Everyone sees it. He comes home, his wife says, the kids are starving, where'd you go? Instead of regular dough, what does he give her? The wheat, the grain. She says, where'd you go last night? Makara. They weren't complaining about the manna. What were they complaining about? The pressure. We don't want to have to work hard. It's too much pressure. Every single day, day in, day out. You want me to daven every day? You want me to learn every single day? This is impossible. It's too much. There's never a day off. We can't have a break. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? He comes to Hashem and says, Hashem, I can't deal with these people. Am I the one that gave birth? Am I supposed to nurse them their whole lives? If this is the situation, shocking. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Hargeni naharog. Just kill me now. Moshe Rabbeinu, the quintessential leader, par excellence, you know, greatest man who ever lived. And what's he saying? I can't deal with these people. He's been the leader for a year. Yeah, they were the Makkas for a year. They've been the Midbar about a year. And what's he saying? Just kill me now. I can't deal with them. Why does he get so frustrated? Because he says, don't you understand the purpose of life is to grow? The purpose of life is that you're going to have to work hard. They had to run away. We don't want any more rules. Maspik, it's too much. It's too much pressure every day. So many halakhas, so many things. You got to eat this way. You can't eat over there. You can't watch this. You have to do this. You can't talk like this. You need to wake up in the morning, wash your hands like this, put your shoes on like this. Every little thing, Maspik, they're saying, enough. We have enough rules. Maspik, they're running away like kids. Moshe Rabbeinu literally used terminology. They're like babies. I'm supposed to nurse them? I can't deal with them. They don't understand they're meant to work hard. That's the purpose of life. The Meraglim had the same thing, but from a good perspective. They said, we want to stay holy. We want to stay kadosh. We want to stay here in the Midbar learning Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. If we go into Eretz Yisrael, what do we have to do? We have to work hard. Again, the people that were complaining about the man, they wanted the easy life. They didn't want to have to be so kadosh, so holy, so spiritual. The Meraglim, they were kulam anashim, they were chashuvim, chashuvim. When the Ramban tries to figure out the order of the people that are listed, he says it seems like a random order. It must be an order of kashivas. Yehoshua, number 5. Kalev, number 3. These were unbelievable tzaddikim, and they said, we just want to sit and learn. We don't want to have to work hard. Says the Chidush Eri. We want to just be able to enjoy and learn Torah. We don't want the challenge of real life. We don't want the challenge of day in, day out. You got to go to work, and there's going to be taiva, and there's going to be challenges. This is the good life. This is unbelievable. So last week's parasha, the Hamoinam were complaining, too much pressure, we don't want to work hard. Moshe Rabbeinu gets frustrated. That's the purpose of life. This week's parasha, the Meraglim, they also don't want to have to work hard. From a good perspective, they want to just sit and learn. In modern day examples, you would say you have a bachur learning in yeshiva. What does he have to do all day? Just sit and learn. Does he have to worry about who's going to pay the bills now? And then he gets married, and his parents and his in-laws say, sit and learn in kailo. He's loving it. This is the good life. And then after a couple of years, they say, look, it's real life. That's exactly what's happening over here. And this guy's thinking, you know, what just happened? I've been sitting and learning from the time I was 15. Yeah? I went to yeshiva. And then at 22, 23, I got married. And now suddenly I'm 27 and then they're throwing me in the deep end. What do they want from me? That's the Meraglim. We had the good life. We just had to sit and learn. We didn't have to worry about anything. And now we don't want this. We want to just sit and learn. Why are you doing this to us? To go out into the big bad world and face real life, we don't want that. So what happens? You see what you want to see. You see what you want to see. Instead of seeing how Hashem was sorting them out, they sealed the negativity. I don't want to have to work hard. But that's the way Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world at the Hamoy Na'ami. Of course you need to go out and work. And it's not a stira. They were saying, we just want to sit and learn. The challenges of real life, no, Hashem created the world that, yeah, you need to go out into the big bad world. You need to have real life. And that's why, says the Chidush Harim, you look at the end of the parasha, which mitzvahs do we have right after the story of the Meraglim? You have Nisuch HaYayin. Why Nisuch HaYayin? Because you have somebody, they work hard. They work hard. And they plant. And they take care of their vineyard. And then what do they do with this wine? You pour on the mizbeach. It's not a stira to have wine, which quite often is used to get drunk, to party, to escape life. You can have things that also give you the opportunity to be kadosh, to be holy. And then you have challah. The challah once again. It's not just bread, it's challah. It's something that can be used to be kadosh, to be holy. Of course, it's the bread is the most natural thing that people ate. Most sustainable thing people ate. It's taiva, it's food, it's desire. No. It can be kadosh, it can be holy. Tzitzit. Many people back in the day, farmers. And you're taking care of the stinky, smelly sheep. And then what can you do? You can also take it. And you can make it kadosh, you can make it holy, you can attach it to your clothes. And then, uri'item oto, you gotta look at it. Look. Don't look at the world the way the Meragim looked at it, saying, it's either you're holy or you're not. Either, like Yahushua, you put up the wall, that's them, this is us, Allah's done. We don't connect with them. You can look at it, you can remember it all. You can look at the whole picture, you can take what's mundane and you can make it holy. You can take sheep and turn it into wool and make it tzitzit. You can take dough, you can take bread, and you can do hafashat challah. You can take wine, you can do nisukayai. You can take the most basic things, the most simple things, the most mundane and chulindika things, and say, no, no, we're going to make them kadosh. The Meraglim said, it's either all or nothing. We understand, no. There are some people that are lucky enough to sit and learn in kolo and become the rabbonim, the chachamim. But the average guy, yeah. You got to leave this nice little cushy world and go out into the real life, into the big bad world. And there's taiva. And there's challenges. And there's people that dress less sneers and people... That's life. Now you need to learn how to navigate. You need to learn what's the mahalach. How to be their friend, but also at the same time say there's certain things I don't do in certain places I don't go, and certain things I won't. There's a line. And that's why Kalev has to go daven. He has to go daven by the Maros HaMapela. Why? Because I understand, this isn't pashut. To teeter on that line, being their friend, Yahushua, it's easy. Yahushua doesn't have to go daven. Yahushua doesn't have to go daven. He put up a wall, Moshe being a daven's friend, done. He doesn't have to worry about the temptation. But, Kalev, he has to go daven. Because when you're, Chashom, I don't want to use the term playing that game, but when you're bordering on that line of being their friend, but also understanding, I'm going to have to at a certain point step up and say this isn't the way to do things, or make my point, and try and get them onto my side, you got to daven. You got to daven big. Because it's not pasha, it's not simple. Moshe Rabbeinu changes Yahushua's name, and which letter? He takes away the letter Hey, and he adds the letter Yud. Why? Sorry, he adds the letter Yud. Excuse me, he adds the letter Yud. Why does he add the letter Yud? Because we know that Hashem creates this world. How does He create this world? Eder Shemayim Va'aretz, Behi Baram. What do the Mefarshim say? Don't read it, Behi Baram. Behi Baram. This world was created with the letter Hey. How was the next world created? Which letter?
Yud.
Letter Yud. Moshe Rabbeinu adds the letter Yud, saying it's not a stira. The Meraglim think this world is one type of world, the next world is another type of world, and they don't mix. Yahushua, I'm going to take to your hey and add on a Yud. You have to understand that the Yud and the hey, that's Hashem's name. They go together. They're symbiotic. This world and the next world, it's not a stira. You can have Kedusha in this world. It's not... And in the, it's not one or the other. You can take the yayin, you can take the challah, you can take the tzitzis, and bring kedusha into the most simple things. We live in a world where people say, "I don't want to have to work hard. I want to enjoy." The Meraglim also said, "I want to enjoy from a nice perspective. They want to sit in kailo. It's beautiful." But you know what? That's not necessarily made for everybody. And although it's nice and ideal, that's not what the Hamoyin Am does. The Hamoyin Am live in a world where there are challenges, where there's temptation in parnasa, and in money, and in women, and in kavod. That's real life. And then there's all the things, hitabu tava, that we add on to make it even more challenging. But we have natural born desires, and it's not easy. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, "We don't want the man, not the man. We don't have to work hard. We want to be able to sit back and enjoy." The Meraglim, they also don't want to have to work hard. They want to just have the prayer of life. But that's not the way Hashem created the world. We're here to work hard. We're here to grow. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't lead these people who are that immature. They just want to have the good life. Whether it's coming from a good perspective or a bad perspective, we're here to work hard. We're here to grow. We're here to work on ourselves. And the challenges that are out there are there. I'm speaking to myself. They're there to make us stronger. and Belsheva Yipol Tzadah V'Kamle will fail, will mess up. It happens. But how do you get up? Do you get up? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was frustrated at. It's so much less. Just kill me now. Again, I can't. If they're going to act like babies, that they think every time there's a challenge and that it's too much pressure, day in, day out, yeah, you got to learn day in, day out. You have to daven day in, day out. There's no days off. Yeah, it's not always going to be easy. That's the point. Real life isn't easy. But that's ultimately what we're here to do. To grow. It's not a stira to say that you can have Kedusha and you could have Chulin at the same time. You got to figure out the Mahalach. You got to know yourself. Some people, they have to put up the wall. They have to say, I can't mix. Because it's too much of a challenge for me. But overall, the ideal is to figure out the balance. Not to just put up the wall. And say, that's them, this is us. There's people out there. There are brothers and sisters. And we got to figure out a Mahalach. What to do and how to do. To just say, you can't. That's wrong, you're bad. That's not going to help. That's not going to work. Chalev understood. How am I going to be? I have to daven. But I want to be able to tote the line. There's more to say. We've run out of time. Bezat Hashem, we'll make sure we can learn some of the lessons from the Meraglim. Understand they were never meant to be Meraglim, but they were scared. They were scared for real life. To have to go into Eretz Yisrael and work and not just have the Kelo life. It's the ideal to just sit and have everything taken care of. But that doesn't usually work out. And therefore, we have to grow. We have to work hard. And if we can do that, then Bezat Hashem, we'll be zeichet to go into Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach Zukenu.
Amen. 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 Amen.